Good morning. I love that after each reading of Scripture, there is a word of blessing or acceptance of what the Scripture says, whether it's thanks be to God or the word of the Lord, you know, because it, in a sense, traps you to having confirmed that you find this word to be good news. And I'm going to take off my mask real quick. When in fact, the text that we have read today is a text of warning. A text that maybe we may feel a little less than tempted to say amen and amen to. So this morning, if it's okay with you guys, I'm going to start off with a poem. It's a poem by Billy Collins called Introduction to Poetry. I ask them to take a poem and hold it up to the light, like a color slide, or press an ear against its hive. I say, drop a mouse into a poem and watch him probe his way out. Or walk inside the poem's room and feel the walls for a light switch. I want them to water squeaky across the surface of a poem, moving at the author, waving to the author's name on the shore. But all they want to do is tie the poem to a chair with a rope and torture a confession out of it. They begin beating it with a hose to find out what it really means. And that this morning is the poem. I read this poem because I think the second half, the latter half, is what we too often do with Scripture. We seek to make it make sense to us rather than making our lives make sense to the poem, to the Scripture. And that there's a distinction to be had there. Do you guys understand that? We want to accommodate Scripture. We want Scripture to accommodate to the lives we live and make sense in light of the lives we live, rather than Scripture coming in and telling us how to make sense of our own lives. It's a lot easier to do it this way. And in fact, history has shown us many ways that that has been done with this passage in particular. How many of you guys have heard the explanation of the camel through the eye of a needle being what it was like to get the camel through the gate of the city? You guys have heard that explained to you that way, right? Well, it's nonsense. Jesus meant what he said there. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich person to get to heaven. But man, is that uncomfortable. And I'll tell you this too. It was about the 9th century when we first started trying to figure out, okay, so what does he really mean? Rather than in the early parts of the church where they sold everything, followed and went after Christ. And so we today encounter this text anew and we go, me? That call is on me? I want to remind you all this morning and encourage you all this morning that when we encounter the gospel, we change. Do you hear that this morning? The gospel calls us to go, to sell, to give, and ultimately to come and follow Christ. Amen? The man in this passage walks away, head hung low. But the good news this morning is that need not be our response. With God, all things are possible. Amen? This morning's message is a warning to all. Don't let security for tomorrow prevent you from being obedient today. Do you hear that? Don't let the need to control tomorrow prevent you from being obedient today. This is true for us individually as we seek to be faithful to God's call in our lives. But it is also true to the call for us corporately as the church to not seek security tomorrow at the expense of obedience today. I've said often that it's an odd thing for a church to be so obsessed with survival when we serve a Messiah who wasn't. Amen? We worry about survival when we celebrate and serve a God who didn't worry about that. He loved to the point of death on the cross, amen? So too should we. I'm afraid that too often we hang our heads in fear of our needs of tomorrow rather than helping those in front of us in need today. This text is not just a word for those that have, but it is a word for those that have not as well. Because those that have orient themselves in such a way to keep what they have. But those that don't have too often orient themselves in a way to get what they don't have. And in both cases, become captive to possessions. You may feel this morning that you have a pass. Or consider your when you consider your savings. Like, look, Pastor Matt, I don't have that much money. I'm doing okay. But often, in this world of production and consumption, we without find ourselves captive to possessions we wish we had. I wonder sometimes what it would have been like had the young man said, okay, gone, sold, followed. You know, it's the only calling story in Mark in which the person didn't do such a thing. The disciples had left their nets behind. Matthew had stopped being a tax collector. There were so many stories of calling and following. But this story, I think, hits us hard because it's one of the more relatable ones. The one that said, I can't, I have so much stuff. You don't understand. If I had less stuff, maybe. But I have so much. I worry when we sanctify our selfishness sometimes. We sanctify our selfishness. Now, don't hear this wrong. It is completely possible to be good stewards. But if the word stewardship is a replacement for our greed, if stewardship is a replacement for our call to help those in need, then it's lost its function. Because as stewards of God's land, we are called to follow Him. Give ourselves freely to the point of death. Amen? And so, this morning, I do not want a church walking out with its head hung low. I want us to encounter this gospel, to be changed by Christ, and to realize and celebrate the good news that through God, all things are possible. Right? So it might be impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But through God, all things are possible. Amen? That, this morning, is good news. That is the gospel. The gospel this morning is that Christ's life, death, and resurrection, Christ's call to us to come and follow Him on the way, offers us freedom. Because ultimately, freedom is what we need. We need to be free from that desire to keep, to maintain, to hold on to. We need to be free from that desire to get, to accumulate, to find satisfaction in things. Because the rich and poor among you will tell you how hollow and empty those pursuits are. But it's a story that's told and retold. It's in our advertisements. It's in our TV shows. It's a story that captivates us. And this morning, we get to be captivated by a different story. A story of love freely, a story of falling into and seeking God's kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? The last sermon I preached before I had a stroke at the church that Mary Beth was talking about was a sermon about our value being in being called God's people. And not in what we do, what we produce, and what we consume. It's tricky to learn that identity. And I had to learn it in a whole new way the Wednesday after I preached that sermon, when all of a sudden my title as pastor, my title as a reverend leading on this district, I felt pulled away as so much change came into my life. But the good news that I preached that morning and that I heard again through new eyes and new ears is that we aren't who we are because of what we do. We are who we are because we are called by God and loved. You, Scottsdale, are beloved. You, Scottsdale, are called to invite others to come, follow, to give it all. Because the treasure that we set aside, the treasure of God's self being fully revealed here on earth, is beyond that which we can imagine. Do you believe that this morning? The gospel this morning is that God calls and enables us to be the disciples he'd have us be. For with God, nothing is impossible. Let's live like we believe that. God calls us, but not because of what we have or don't have, but God looks at us who are captive with love. Ultimately, that aspect of the passage. I didn't want to come and round the scripture out. I didn't want to tame it so that it made us feel better. But there is truth in that. That Jesus looked upon the man. I think knowing that the man would walk away with his head hung low. But he looked upon him with love. And we as the church ought to be looking at people who are captive to what they have. We don't look at them and say, thank God I'm not like them. We look at them with love. And we celebrate the good news that the invitation is open. The call to the table is for everyone. The good news this morning is that he loves us, even when we love our things more than him. So Scottsdale, I think that we should too look at others with love and invitation to come and follow. Even if that way is the way of the cross. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word this morning. We say amen and amen to it, even when we have trouble. For we know, Lord, that through you all things are possible. So we ask this morning, Lord, that you, by your grace, by your spirit, by your power, would shape us, form us, and change us into the people that you call us to be. We pray this in your name. Amen.